I've got a quick question for you, alright. I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright. The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with... Who could say? I am one half of this podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and jet-lagged sleepy boy Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, do the rest of the episode, please.
Okay, hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad. I can carry this, sure. I'll carry this whole episode. Good night, Dan. And hello, my co-host at home. What do you want to talk about?
I like, as soon as you're taking over and carrying things, your instinct is to forget how video works.
Yeah.
Like and what answer?
So go ahead and call in. Go ahead and call in.
Ah!
That's just one of the spectacular things you'll get from video that you wouldn't have gotten just from the audio version.
Yeah, put one of those technical difficulty things out. That's perfect. And we're back. We're trying some things to make the show better now that we're doing a video version of it. And we decided to ape one of the most popular sitcoms of all time. And that's why the Seinfeld.
Boy, that was a long walk.
Yep.
That was a real long walk for that joke. But you know what? Worth it.
Thank you. Yeah. And also, it took all of my energy. I cannot.
Okay. Well, I'll talk for a little while. That's fine.
Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. Raycon is premier audio at the perfect price point. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ today to get 15% off your Raycon order. We would like to thank Factor for sponsoring Quick Question. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to factor75.com/QQ50 and use code QQ50 to get 50% off.
So, Daniel,
what?
I've been saving this for the podcast. You don't have to respond to any of this. This is all rhetorical at this point. I've been saving this for the podcast, but I went to an appointment the other day for my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And here were the options. Like, I was going to go there and I was going to find out one of three things. One, it's taking a long time to heal. Like, they're like, as soon as I got there, they're like, you know, this is going to take like 6 to 12 weeks. And yeah. I was like banking on 4. And then the other thing is that because whatever this bone is, it's called the scaphoid, it doesn't get like great circulation. So occasionally what will happen is you will break that bone. It will not get any circulation. And then the bone just gets necrosis. And like, and so then they've got to put a screw in it and everything. Mm-hmm. So I could have just basically like restarted rehab restarted the whole process on it. And then the third option was he would hold my hand and look at it and say, my God, like you heal like Wolverine.
Yeah. Hold on a second. It's stronger.
Yeah. Somehow it's stronger than even it, had we put a screw in it.
Yeah.
It was the third option. it was really interesting. The guy, I think he's just like a hand and foot specialist, but he had a little like swivel x-ray table. So like we're in his office and he's like, "Hey, let's take a look at it. Come over here to the screen." And he just swivels this thing out like a dentist bringing out a light, basically. And I'm like, "How do you want my hand under here?" And he's like, "I'll hold it. I'll tell you." And so he just grabs my hand and starts moving it around and the screen just starts flashing. Where he's x-raying both of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can see his skeleton, and I can see my skeleton.
I like that. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I wish more doctors would be like, this is my foot bone, too. So, like, I don't have anything over you.
You see? Now we both see each other's insides.
Yeah.
And you don't have, yeah. And so he's doing that, and I'm like, that can't be good for him. But maybe x-rays are different now. Like, maybe just somewhere along the way we got better at not giving you cancer from them. But he's, like, holding my hand, and he's moving it. And he's like, okay, you can see right there, that little divot right on the edge, that's where the break was. It looks like it's healing really nicely.
Excellent.
And he's like, I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? And he's like, if you want, you can stop wearing the brace at home. And it also means like when I'm just like sitting down somewhere, I can just stop wearing the brace.
Hell yeah.
And so I'm gonna warn you also right now.
If you're just joining us, they're not just joining us.
They might have popped in.
If you're just tuning in, this is a huge reveal.
There's what you're gonna see is basically like a candy cane that hasn't been unwrapped all the way. Mm-hmm. Like when you just suck and then you unwrap the rest and there's like that like.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You can see
it's different.
Yeah. The tan line doesn't help at all. But you can see like it's normal arm and then it gets very small.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like pops out again. And then I got a nice tan up here as well.
The tan line is very funny because if you didn't know that you had a broken wrist, someone would have a really hard time guessing what you could have been wearing. Because like most people don't assume you have broken bones. So if you're just like if I didn't know you and I was just looking at them, I'm like, just like a really long bracelet?
So the doctor, I asked him, I said, well, could I work out? And he was like, I wouldn't.
Like, well, that's why you're a fucking doctor and not an Olympian. Yeah. So stay in your lane.
I'm working out. And I ran to the gym and I was like, well, I'm not going to push it. I'm just going to like see what I can do. And immediately pushed it and was like, yeah, all right. But I do run in that. So like I run to the gym wearing the brace. And then as soon as I get there, take it off. Like, I look like I'm committing insurance fraud somewhere.
Like, I get to the gym. Wink at the front desk person.
Oh, thank God. And then I just carry it around with me under my arm. But I've been lifting with it and, or like without it and like just kind of like testing it out. And I'm going real low.
Yeah.
Real low. But it feels great. And I also then, at the end of it, have to put this sweaty fucking cast back on and run home. And so today I did it even before this. Like I got there. As soon as I dropped my kids off at their camps and whatever, mm-hmm. I ran to the gym as fast as I could, worked out a little bit, ran home. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to be late to this thing. I showered a little too close to having run. Yeah. And like there, you really have to put a window in there because what happens is if you shower too early, the shower doesn't take.
Yeah. You sweat like, during the shower and you sweat after the shower.
And then after the shower, you're like, I'm wetter still. Yeah. Like you towel off and you're like, I'm wetter than I was in the shower. And so then I'm putting on like some lotion and stuff like that. And it's just like, all you're doing is just like creating more moisture.
Yeah.
And then I even had a different shirt that I was going to wear to this. And I was like, I can't wear this shirt. It's too sweaty already. And then on the way here, just came with like the AC on and the windows down. Because, yeah, I know global warming, but mm-hmm. we have a podcast to do and I have to be on camera.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Greta Thunberg wouldn't be so fucking mouthy if she had 25,000 monthly listeners that she had to deal with.
Do we really? That's a lot. That's
no
more
idea.
Than I would have said. We should have a contest at some point and guess what our listener base is. Because I would have guessed 100.
Yeah.
110, maybe.
I don't think the answer will make us feel good. I have a Substack that I'm not, like, it's not super important to me to grow it or anything like that. It's a free newsletter where I send out book recommendations every month to engage with fan base and to encourage myself to read more, because now I have this thing that makes me accountable. And it was in the back of my mind a small test of like how much of the fan base from Cracked has stayed with me and will stick with me.
Yeah.
If I got to a point where I was like, I'm starting my own shingle right now. Everyone who liked me before, come with me. And there's like 400 subscribers, man. It's not information that I needed to know. And now I'm never going to check again. I'm going to keep the CEO of the Substack in the dark for as long as possible.
I felt that way a little bit with Blue Sky. When it felt like there was going to be a real movement towards mm-hmm. Blue Sky, I got an invite code and I was like, here we go. Just got to build up that crew, that audience again. And I was like, all right, on Twitter, I was like, here's my Blue Sky. 12 followers.
Yeah.
12.
Because for, like in your head, you think, oh, the 80,000 followers I have on Twitter will just follow me everywhere.
They just move.
But for a lot of those people, just like, you know, I guess I don't need him in my life anymore. I'm not going to go to a second place.
I don't even want to think about what their thought process is when they see that I'm doing something else. I mean, it was also through this podcast, too, where we were like, we're Cracked. Mm-hmm. And then not too far after Cracked, we were like, let's just do a podcast. Like, how many of those people do you think we could like realistically move over? Whatever the number you think it is, like whatever like generous number you give yourself, It's way lower.
Yeah. I remember when we were starting this, our CEO was like, you guys have X amount of followers on Twitter and millions of readers and watchers from Cracked and After Hours. If only 20% of them follow you, then we're going to be golden. Folks, we're not golden.
Well, no, we're a long way from golden. We're like not even copper. Like yeah. we're way down the ore list. I guess we should start the show.
No, I don't want
to. You got more to say.
It was funny to me that you were talking about your cast and how you were banking on it being 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Every step of the way, the doctor was like, this is going to be a 6 to 8 week recovery period. I'm like, oh, fuck, man, 4 to 6 weeks. That's tough.
Yeah, like, yeah, just not even hearing
I'm not accepting it.
that's what I did. And I was like, no, I'm different.
Yeah.
I'm like, I should have been in the NFL. I'm different.
Yeah. And it sucks that you're right. You were different. And so now I'm different. Yeah. So now I'm right as well.
You might be.
Yeah.
Maybe they have that built in. Maybe they do the 6 to 8 weeks because there are some people who like are just like riddled with osteoporosis or whatever, but like they just aren't good bones. The foundation's not there. and so then when people come through and they're like, oh no, it wasn't 4 weeks. Everyone gets very excited and feels like I do, which is I'm a superhero.
Yeah.
Even if you're not going on vacation, summer is all about a vacation state of mind. Whether I want to listen to Ben Folds or Regina Spektor or Ben Folds 5, end of list, on repeat, or just need to retreat inside my own head for a bit, I love creating my own summer soundtrack by popping in my Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon starts at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they're just as good. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ today to get 15% off your Raycon order. Everyone knows this about me. I go running a lot, and I like to have different playlists that I run to depending on my mood. Some days I want to go fast, so I have a fast playlist. And some days I just want to run for a time, so I have a chill playlist that helps me disassociate and sort of meditate while I'm running. Either way, I've got a playlist for any kind of running there is. And let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. Use earbud tap functions to toggle between three customizable sound profiles, noise isolation, and awareness mode. Raycons have 32-hour battery life, including 8 hours of playtime, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really long time. I'm just coming off a lot of travel, and I had my Raycons in the entire time, and that's long flights and cab rides, and the battery never expired for all of my travel. They come with custom gel tips for the most comfortable in-ear fit. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon right now. You can get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/QQ today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/QQ to score 15% off.
Doctors are such aliens to me sometimes. Like when you ask if you could work out and he says, I wouldn't do it. I had the same thing with my doctor when I broke the foot that I was like, well, can I run this half marathon? He's like, no. I was like, can I do all this other stuff? He's like, no. Like they'll say no to everything.
Yeah.
They don't want you to have your life back because it's so easy for them to say no. And they just think, well, you have a broken bone, so just pause the rest of your life for 2 months. Just like sit in the dark with your foot up and then it'll be better. Well, I don't understand why you don't want to do that.
Well, the other
just misery yourself.
The alternative is that they're going to be like, yeah, it sounds all right.
Yeah.
And then you fuck it up.
Sprint out the door.
And then you fuck it up and then you come back and you're like, you told me I can lift all the weights. And so they don't want to be responsible for that. The same way you're like lawyers at our jobs, when you're like, you want to talk about somebody specific and they're like, I wouldn't do that. You're like, well,
right.
It's not your show.
Especially because our jobs are so, well, I don't want to, my resting state as a writer is to be self-deprecating, but during the strike, I can't be. I was going to say our jobs are nonsense, but they're not. They're important and they're vital. But when you're talking to a lawyer and it's like, hey, I really want to say Donald Trump has upside down butt. They're like, do you need to say that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I really do.
Yeah,
And if we get sued by the former president, then it was worth it.
Yeah, we have a lot of that where I had a basketball player in one of my episodes. I had Scottie Pippen in one of my episodes.
Oh, the author.
The author, the famous author, crime novelist, Scottie Pippen. And when we were like looking to get a basketball player in it, I wanted Scottie Pippen originally, but they couldn't get a hold of him. And so I was there like, why don't you come up with some other basketball players? And I was like, okay. And they're like, but you're going to have to change all the dialogue from that person that would be specific and like make jokes in every single line has to be like about Grant Hill or has to be about Patrick Ewing. And I was like, why? And they're like, no, it's just because if we don't get the, if they say no and we want to do like a sound alike, it has to be clearly parody. So every single line has to be something, like, has to be scathing about this person, as opposed to just them, like, in the episode, Scottie Pippen is like a crime novelist, and like that's what he wants to be known for, not basketball. And they're like, no, it's not good enough. Like, it has to be stuff about his family. He's got 13 brothers and sisters. And I'm like, but that's like meaner. And they're like, yeah, but that's what it has to be. And I was like, well, then we're not doing it.
So you couldn't, the rule is that, like, if you couldn't get Scottie Pippen, but you got someone who sounded exactly like Scottie Pippen, they would need new dialogue entirely. Like, it can't just be, this is Phil Lamar doing Scottie Pippen as a crime novelist.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. So you have to have, like, every single line has to be like clear parody of that person's life. So it has to be specific to them and their actual real life. And so I'm like, I was having my daughter at the time. I wasn't doing it. My wife was, but we were in the hospital and the baby was born and then she's napping and Colleen is napping. And I'm like, okay, I got to go write this. And I'm like writing it for Charles Barkley and like writing it for Grant Hill and stuff. I'm like, okay, these different versions of the episode are ready for them to see, like send them out. Then they got hold of Scottie Pippen and he did it and it was great.
Did you, so the game of Scottie Pippen is now a crime novelist. Did the specificity of crime novelist change for Barkley, or did you just port it over?
No.
No, Charles Barkley wouldn't be a crime novelist. He would be a chef or whatever.
It was the same for all of them. And okay. I honestly, it didn't fit. It's like, it doesn't work the same way. I mean, he's a maritime crime novelist.
Yeah.
So like, he's really into the sea and he's really into like maritime law, which was such a treat for me for it to be Scottie Pippen. I don't know why. I can't articulate why. You can't ask me like, well, just sub anybody in, put in like Jason Kidd. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work.
This is something that I've been thinking about for a long time and I have nowhere to put it. I have no idea what to do with it. But comedy writers think Scottie Pippen is so funny as an idea. Maybe we're all roughly the same age. And so we all grew up idolizing Michael Jordan and knowing who Scottie Pippen was vis-a-vis his relationship to Michael Jordan. And there was just something about him that like found purchase in all of our comedy hearts. That like, Tina Fey, 30 Rock has referenced Scottie Pippen a whole bunch of times. And I know it's not anything other than like, we think he's funny. And I don't, there's nothing inherently funny about him.
It's
just one of those
articulate
things that like, my entire generation of comedy writers like Scottie Pippen. He's a good pull.
It's the same way. Like, there's just certain things that like they get you in exactly the right way. Michael Clayton is like one of them. Michael Clayton is like a great. That's a great movie to reference as like a joke anytime. Yeah. Michael Clayton is so. There's something like it's a great movie. I'll give it. It's and Scottie Pippen's a great basketball player, but there's something about it that's so.
They also made a Michael Clayton joke on 30 Rock.
Did they really?
Yeah.
And Michael Clayton is so... There's for a long time, when everyone was putting those signs in their yards that were said, like, in this house, we believe, like, their race doesn't matter. Sexual preference is fun. Like, it was all the stuff about, like, acceptance. And it was
I don't think anyone had a sign that said, we believe race doesn't matter.
We believe race doesn't matter. It didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing the sign. Obviously, I didn't pay a ton of attention. But in the same font and everything, somebody put up a sign that was like, in this house, we believe Michael Clayton is an absolutely wonderful thriller with great casting. And like, and it's really, really good.
Another comedy specific in the same vein that really got me was friend of the show, Rachel Bloom, mentioned that she likes to name drop Perry Gilpin as like a for instance, you're walking down the aisle of the grocery store and there's Perry Gilpin. Perry Gilpin played Roz on Frasier.
Yeah.
And Perry Gilpin is just Rachel's go-to for like celebrity sighting name to pull. And that is so perfect. Perry Gilpin, who most people don't know by name and almost no one ever thinks about.
There's a person that I will regularly reference for the same reason where like, if I'm talking about like, we're going to cast this thing and I'm like, what's it like the silliest person you could put in it? Mm-hmm. I will always use this person, like to the point where now I have to stop doing it because I've used it so much. Rebecca De Mornay.
Excellent. Yeah.
Such as one of those ones where you're just like, oh fuck, what is she doing?
Yeah. I used in a script for work in a joke that never made it to anything. We would get one of those young Hollywood studs like Robert Pattinson or Dylan O'Brien or Tracy Letts. And My boss was so happy. He's like, I knew it was going to end with some left turn, but this one really got me.
That's great. Oh, you won him.
Should we start the show, do you think?
Yeah, sure. Or end it.
Oh, yeah. I guess we could do that. How long has this been going on?
No, we can't.
Okay.
So I guess the only other option is start it.
Is start the show.
Now that we're in the thick of summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. This July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door. Ready in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess. Head to factor75.com/QQ50 and use code QQ50 to get 50% off. I love Factor. I ordered a bunch of stuff from Factor. They were kind enough to send it to me quickly. I have pretty specific dietary needs. I can't have any dairy or egg, but I'm not quite vegan because I still like meat. And I told them all of those things, and they put together a perfect set of meals and smoothies for me. Too busy with summer plans to cook, but want to make sure you're eating well? With Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy, then get back outside and soak up the warm weather. If you're like me, you struggle to eat well in the summer because there's just so much great outdoor garbage food to eat. But if you're still trying to be calorie conscious and looking for some great options, try delicious, dietitian-approved, calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving with Factor. Head to factor.com/QQ50 and use code QQ50 to get 50% off. That's QQ50 at factor75.com/QQ50 to get 50% off. Do it.
Okay, Daniel, I have a question for you. Now, I know, preface this by saying that you, people you love and respect follow this podcast.
People I love, certainly. No one I respect.
So I understand if you're uncomfortable answering this question, yep. But... I was thinking the other day about times that I got very high and then had like an epiphany, which you frequently do. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, no, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Like afterwards, I didn't have that moment where I was like, oh, man, what was I thinking? Yeah. I was like, no, there are certainly some little things where like I've like come across when I'm high and I'm just like, oh, that's the way the universe works. And then when I'm done, like I've washed it from my system, I'm like, no, yeah, I mean, I figured some shit out there. I opened some doors that I wouldn't have opened otherwise. So I wanted to ask you if there was ever anything, any like epiphany that you had while you were high that you then afterwards thought, I still secretly, privately kind of believe that. Yeah. I can go first.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to talk about something illegal. We did mushrooms and, do you hit cops?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. I did mushrooms.
Yeah, good, because if cops overheard what you said into a microphone while three cameras are filming, you'd be in real trouble.
We did mushrooms, and it could feel so good to finally say out loud.
To be absolutely clear, I am not part of the we in this.
We did mushrooms.
No,
yeah,
Mom.
We did them. Because Dan was like forcing me. Like it was like every weekend. He was like, "We got to do them. We got to do them." I'm doing them every day. Yeah. And I was like, "I don't want to. I don't want. I'm scared." And he was like, "Do it." Yeah. Okay, so on mushrooms, I had this realization that, or this thought that, anything that you look at or that you put your focus on, you can create an energy link with. And I was like, even if it's not like focused on you or like it's an inanimate object, it doesn't matter. Like you start to create what is an energy link. And it happened when I was like staring at some trees and the trees were kind of like swaying in the breeze. And then I realized that I was also swaying and I was like, they got me. like we are focused on each other and like that, and that energy link, like it's going to go both ways no matter what. And so like, you're going to be like, you're bringing some to the table. So you're forcing something on this other object, but it's also, or person or whatever, but it's also on you. So like, I'll give you some examples of like why I felt like it was true.
Before that, you've said energy link three times. Like we all know what that is.
Energy link. I just mean that there's like a transference of something from that focus that like is going now. It's like the internet. Like it's going both ways. Like you're both getting some sort of, I don't want to call it like electricity or anything, but like you're getting something from that person or animal or whatever, and it's getting something from you. Yeah. And it's like, you're in a way, this is also a weird way to put it, but like you're forcing your will on it. Mm-hmm. And so like when you, so Daniel, when you stretch your calves, mm-hmm. you stand there and you lift up one leg and like you're stretching it. What do you do with your eyes during that period of time?
Stare off.
Do you stare at just like one point, right? Yeah. Because if you're like looking at anything that's moving or anything.
Yeah, I'll fall.
Yeah, I'll fall down. But like, so you will look at something that's like, and I'll look at like the ground, I'll look at like a leaf or a blade of grass or something, something that is completely stationary. And I'm like, oh, this is, now I'm like, I'm getting that from this thing, whatever this thing is. It's the same where like, I try to like look at a bird while I'm doing it and I'll just careen over because it's doing that shit in the sky. Yeah. And then what really made me believe in it was when you like, the Nuggets just won the NBA Finals, but like there's a bunch of people in a stadium. There's like the stadiums are the places where just magic happens. Like it's
especially
so
in Orlando.
it's crazy how often impossible things happen in sports, and it's because everybody is focused on this one thing, and they're all kind of like willing it in a way. Like they want this very specific thing to happen. So even if like. You're not on the – let's say basketball is a very easy one because you've got somebody from the three-point line. They shoot a shot at the buzzer. Everybody is expecting that ball to go in and, like, willing it in. Even the other team and, like, fans of the other team who are like, please don't, please don't. They're not imagining it going out. They're imagining it going in because that's what they don't want to happen. Yeah. And so, like, it just happens. And it happens so regularly that I'm like, there's something going on, man. We're all just like – we're all passing stuff back and forth. And like when you make eye contact with somebody, it's a big deal. Like it's when you're focused on somebody and like looking at them, you do sort of like feel it yeah. in a way. And animals too, I feel like you get it from. I came across it while I was very high and I was like, oh my God, this is the whole world. This yeah. is how it all works.
That's really interesting because I'm not a drug person, but I've been very drunk and had realizations. And one of them was very specifically nature themed as well, like that. I was drunk as hell with friends at the LA Arboretum looking at plants and trees and shit. And I was staring, first staring at the sun for a while and then staring at a leaf that had fallen off a tree and staring at the leaf for so long and saw like the veiny patterns in the leaf. The, and like, then looking at like, these patterns are in the bark of the tree that it came from. And they're in my hand, too. And they're in those clouds. There's only one pattern, and it's everywhere, and it repeats. It makes so much, it's DNA. This makes so much sense to me. We're all made of this pattern. And he's like, showing it to my drunken hooligan friends, like, look at this leaf and tell me it's not that tree. And they're like, all right, let's go.
Daniel got dosed. We got to get him home.
So I can narc my... college roommate who is now a college professor. He got super fucking high one day and I made us both cocoa and he put the cocoa cup on the table and like kept arranging it and arranging lights and was taking pictures of it and was drawing it over and over again. Just like really silently drawing while looking at the steam coming up from this cup of cocoa. And I was just like, drugs are a disease, but he seems like he's having a good time. I don't know what to say. And then the next day, he looked at the drawings, and they were nothing. Not even like, this is a bad drawing of a mug. It is not a mug. We don't, to this day, we don't know why he was looking at the mug and like drawing it. It's just like a bunch of shapes that are completely unrelated to the thing that he was looking at. And he was like, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe I should take a break.
Yeah, it was tough because it's, I mean, dreams do the same thing to you where you like have something miraculous happen in a dream. You're like, you wake up, you write it down, you're like, fuck yeah. And then later you're like, no, wait, what? Yeah. What is this about bagels and donuts?
The amount of script and screenplay problems I've solved in a dream only to wake up and be like, no, you fucking idiot. They can't just like open the door and then walk into the wire. You're not allowed to do that.
That
would be a better show.
It's not a sensation I get. So drinking, I have things that I think are great. And then the next day I'm like, nah, it was the energy of the room. That's all. And then also with marijuana, that's how I feel a lot. It's like, that was dumb. But for whatever reason, like harder drugs. As soon as I
that's
do them,
the secret.
The next day I'm like, holy shit. Like there were doors that were shut in my brain, mm-hmm. and I did this drug, and then it opened those up, and then I figured out some new things, and then I shut those doors again.
I don't mind saying that. I'll try it. I'll give it a shot. I'll stare at some stuff.
Okay.
And the second part of my question is,
let's do mushrooms right now.
No. That's not a question.
You're right. Daniel, would you... How do I ask this so you can't say no?
No, and it's tough because everyone knows the rules of this podcast. If he does ask it as a question, I have to do it.
That would be a terrible, maybe great, but probably mm-hmm. terrible podcast.
I just have to do everything?
We just do some mushrooms. And then do the podcast.
I think it would be, if I was the kind of person who would do mushrooms, I think it would be very funny if we told everyone, we filmed 20 video podcasts. We're on mushrooms for one of them.
Oh yeah, you got,
and you have to figure it out.
Yeah. Also, it's just
it'll
one
be
of us,
so obvious,
and you have to know, like, you have to like figure out which one. It is really, it's a funny drug in that, like, you can do very small doses and be fine, and like get kind of the same experience psychologically. Mm-hmm. But then, if you do a lot, like, it's impossible to be normal at all. Like, mm-hmm. you, the way that you walk, you're like, this is feeling very good to walk this way.
Here's a crazy question. Are mushrooms having a moment right now? I feel like growing up, I mean, certainly my circle was never going to be doing mushrooms anyway growing up. But for most of my life, even my 20s, mushrooms weren't like so casually discussed and thrown around. We went to a wedding a couple weeks ago and ran into old friends out here in California that I hadn't seen in years. And within 10 minutes, one of these friends, a public figure whom you know, was like, oh, by the way, I have a lot of mushrooms if you want some.
Yeah,
we hadn't seen each other in 8 years.
That was surprising. There was and then there were several people at the wedding the next day, like before the wedding. Like they weren't in the wedding, so they didn't have to be on stage or anything. But throughout that day, they were like, we're doing mushrooms.
Yeah. Like, the wedding's not till 5. Let's do mushrooms. And then go to the wedding.
It was a mushroom forward wedding. Yeah. And not like the fault of the bride or the groom. I don't think they actually knew what was going on. But a very mushroom forward wedding.
It's because I've watched weed go from a thing that like the bad kids in school did, and it was like secret scary drug, to a very, like, now everyone in the world smokes weed. It's legal. There's weed shops that look like Apple stores all over Los Angeles, all over the damn country, and it's no one is like scared or ashamed to admit that they smoke weed. It's the most normal thing in the world right now. And mushrooms is I feel like undergoing a similar thing where lots of people are doing it, lots of people are very open about doing it, and they're not ashamed of their bad behavior like they should be. I'm ashamed of even good things that I do.
It got a big boost when...
Because being Irish Catholic is also a disease.
I hear it cures that. Catholicism. It got a big boost because the microdosing in the medical setting proved to be very helpful in a lot of ways. Like people would stop smoking, or like alcoholics would like stop drinking as they were microdosing. Mm-hmm. Also within the community of like... people in hospice care.
Yeah.
They would give them mushrooms. Like they did mushrooms, and they would like, they became much more accepting of the fact that they were going to die. And so there's like all these different planes where people are getting very excited about it, it seems like, at once. And then everyone who was already excited about mushrooms was like, great, out in the open. Like, I'll just do my mushrooms.
I also read that study. That's why I've been doing them too. The idea is very funny to me of someone just like, scarfing a bag of mushrooms. That's how they come, I'm assuming, a potato chip style bag of mushrooms. And they're like, yeah, it's crazy. I don't smoke anymore. Completely stopped me from smoking, drinking.
I encourage you to find this video online. There's a video of a guy who had cluster headaches. Have you ever heard of those?
Yeah.
So they're a nightmare. They're like worse than migraines. People have committed suicide from them.
Yeah,
stuff.
I've heard like suicide headaches is like the shorthand.
Yes. And they're terrible. And there was a guy who, very straight-laced dude who... with a family and everything, who was getting these headaches and then had heard, I don't know from who, but they're like, you should try mushrooms for it. And so in this documentary, like, it starts working for him. He starts working, but like, he's so upset about the fact that he's so high because he's the straight-laced guy and hates doesn't want to be in front of other people, hates how high he gets. And so he just goes into a room and shuts the door and lays on a bed and is high there. And like, he's got to do it recurringly or the cluster headaches will come back. It's not like you start to get one.
Right. They don't
take
cure
mushrooms.
It.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, for whatever reason, like this, like doing mushrooms kind of like on this regular interval will keep him from getting them. And so, but you get to then watch him be on mushrooms in this room and watching somebody who doesn't want to be on mushrooms. It's pretty fucking funny.
That would be this podcast if you did get me to do mushrooms and we filmed it. Would just be me. I got a quick question. I don't care. Just drinking water, doing whatever I can do.
He's like, got his eyes closed, like his hand over his eyes, and just being, or his arm over his eyes, and just being like, oh. it's so wonderful. Well, wait for that to stop before I say, I think that's our show.
I'm Frozen 2 waiting for it.
Frozen 2, not a bad movie. Yeah, so we try to do outros here.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at Soren_LTD. You can follow Daniel at DOB_Inc. You can follow Quick Question at QQ. At QQ_Soren and Dan. End of sentence. I'm not going to say period because don't put a period at the end, but like end of sentence. And then we've got a Patreon, which is Patreon/Quick Question. Where we do some bonus content. But hey, you're getting some bonus content right now because you get to see our beautiful shining faces as we talk about drugs.
That's right. If you just listen to this podcast, you can also watch it on YouTube at QQ Podcast. Right?
I bet that's right.
Yeah.
Seems right. And yeah, our theme song is by Mirex. You can find their music on Spotify or on iTunes, wherever you get your music. And you can also download their albums at mirex.bandcamp.com. Goodbye.
Thanks for watching.
Soren, Bowie, Daniel O'Brien, two best friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.